Welcome to Extra Points with your host, Cousin Sal, and his pals, Dave Damaschek and Charlotte Wilder.
All right, welcome to Extra Points, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you with his good friends, Dave Damaschek and Charlotte Wilder. Happy Monday. Happy Martin Luther King Day. We've done it. We've moved on to four teams. Well, we haven't moved on. The three of us, we just sit here and comment and make stupid remarks. But we've moved on. There's a final four. Dave, Charlotte, we've gotten this far. I guess we'll do the can you believe. Can you believe we're in the final four already? So starting with you, Dave, can you believe we're at the final four?
I'm just pleased that we survived. We came through the Heineke's and all that nonsense, and we have a really marvelous doubleheader coming at us on Sunday. Let's ignore just for now that we only have three football games remaining and just focus on the quality of the two title games awaiting our eyeballs and our hearts.
Yes. And Charlotte's big bet for the Browns to defeat the Bucks in the Super Bowl. Was that what it looked like? 55-1?
No.
What was it?
At least get it right, Sal. Okay, it was the Browns to knock out the Packers.
That's right. That's what it was. 55-1. That was looking fine for a minute. That bet notwithstanding. I am with Dave. I'm happy the Browns and the Rams got out of the way. We have Tampa against Aaron Rodgers. We have Josh Allen against Patrick Mahomes. Let's face it. It's going to be Patrick Mahomes. Green Bay, Tampa Bay opens at 3.5 on FanDuel. 51.5 is the over-under. Green Bay is obviously the favorite at Lambeau. Kansas City. This line suggests that Patrick Mahomes is playing. He's a 3-point favorite over Buffalo, 54 at Arrowhead. I don't think there's any. I mean, that concussion protocol test is going to be what color is your uniform? And he's going to say orange, and then like close enough. Grab a helmet, right? I mean, he gets in there. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think there is. Without saying the wrong thing, I don't think there's a very high chance Pat Mahomes has a concussion.
Yeah, it was a weird thing because Jay Glazer came
out. And by that, has a concussion, right? Well, you know, like they put him in watching him get up was like a horror movie, but then they put him in the tent and then he's out there tweeting after the game. And it's like, well, looks like we'll see Patrick versus Josh.
Yes. Yeah. Or maybe Pat, the father. Yeah. I don't know. Well, no, it was a weird thing because Jay Glazer reported afterwards that it was as much a chokeout as it was a concussion. The defender got his arms around. It was a dirty play. But because if you look at it concussion-wise, you're like, all right, it wasn't helmet to helmet. It wasn't shoulder to helmet. It wasn't knee to helmet. Maybe it's the head bouncing off the hard, cold Kansas City ground. But even that didn't look like. And then you see his arm around his throat. Like, yeah, maybe that was it. But they got to look into that.
I really did. Like, have you ever rolled around? We standardly before bedtime, the steamroller comes out onto the little ones at my house. Like the steamroller rolls over them. And I do get up, the older I get, a little dizzy from the spinning around. I really did think, was he just maybe dizzy from the spinning around with the defender on the ground or something? And that's why he wobbled that way. But of course, that doesn't make any sense. And that doesn't explain why he missed the rest of the game there. It is crazy though, to think we were just before, we got going, we were kibitzing, about it is strange in the history of in the Super Bowl era that there have been so few instances as often as QBs get dinged up over the course of a game, that there have been so few Super Bowls impacted by this starter going out and having it's never happened that I can think of. I know in Super Bowl 10, which actually at the time of this recording, it's the anniversary of that game, Steelers over the Cowboys. Mike Kruzek had to come in for Terry Bradshaw in the tail end of that game. But very few times has the star QB had to sit down in a big spot like that. Caleb Haney 10 years ago.
This weekend, right? Like it's Lamar. You count the Lamar.
I mean, let's
not jinx it.
Let's not jinx it now.
Yeah, come on, Dave. You want to take it back?
No, I know, but that's why it's remarkable that we saw it in two, massive spots in the AFC playoffs in the divisional round. I think that's the kind of when you look back on this weekend, it's going to be like, that was crazy. Remember that divisional round that year when number two had to come in for Lamar Jackson and Chad
number two. You see what he did there at the number two? Yes, I mean, let's talk about that game. We're going to break down all the games. Kansas City, Cleveland. What was it? A 22-17 final? I know that was a final because I freaking had Kansas City over 24 and a half team points as an adjusted line. And I couldn't get a field goal. Butker missed a 17 field goals. But anyway, the big news was Andy Reid with the ballsiest call of the year, or Eric Bieniemy, if you will, who will not be hired in these last two spots. It's not looking like, but probably should just go straight to Canton, Ohio. Forget about getting a head coaching job, because this was one of, as someone who had a lot of money on the Chiefs to win the AFC and the Chiefs to survive this round, I was losing my mind when they lined up and they snapped the ball. Like, Romo went nuts. I didn't even have it in me to scream. I was like, what? I can't believe it. I can't. So to set the stage, they're up five. They're trying to kill the clock. It's third and 14. Chad Henne's, who's in there in relief of Patrick Mahomes, run 13 and three quarters yards. Romo says it's a first down. I was like, nah, there's a knee or an elbow. There's something down there. They're short. I'm like, okay, they're going to try to draw him off sides. Well, he's in shotgun form, so it doesn't look like they're doing that. And it's a lame attempt to throw him off sides. And then with 5 seconds left, they snap the ball and throw it to Tyreek Hill, a little zigzag route. And he does it. He completes the pass. I could not get over it. What was going through your guys' mind?
Well, I felt like it was sort of redemption for all of the, I mean, first of all, for football nerds who say go for it, you know, never punt. But also for last weekend, where we saw so many coaches not go for it. And by so many, I mean two, but still, you know, Vrabel didn't go for it on 4th and 2. Tomlin didn't go for it at 4th and 1. Sorry, Dave. Yeah, yeah. But seriously, you see, like, I think that it speaks to how the culture of that team and how Andy Reid is really good at putting people in positions to succeed. And that I read that pass had a 88% completion probability. So it wasn't as sort of crazy as it might have seemed, but it was just so not what people normally do, in a way that sort of shows why Reid is as good as he is.
Yeah, it was such a move. Like, I just could not fathom that they were snapping it, because they snapped it with 5 seconds left. So if you punt, you got Baker probably at his own 20 with minute 10, minute 15 left. No timeouts, down five. I would have signed off on that any day of the week. Dave, it does. I don't know if Charlotte was dancing around it. It does kind of spit in Coach Tomlin's face there, because your thing was like, hey, if you don't have a 4th and 1 play or 4th and 2 play, then you get, well, guess what? You get 7 yards. It's just as they still move the chains, right? And that's what they did. It was a high percentage play, and still as ballsy as it gets.
Yeah, and out of the gun like that, and you know, the first of all, shout out to Bill Belichick in a tough weekend for Bill Belichick, as Tom Brady makes it clear who the more important, if we're in this race of two men and how one franchise won 6 Super Bowls over the last 20 years, clearly advantage Brady after that. But Belichick's the guy who really did start this wave in pro football. Remember when he went for it against the Colts however long ago, and everybody debated that for the next month, whether or not that was smart or being too cute. But anyway, here we are now. I mean, the backup QB, Tony Romo, who's as locked into what's about to happen as any human being on the big blue marble, was like, you could just, I mean, look at their body language. They're not going to snap. Just sit there. Oh, they snapped it. And
it was part of the plan. It's so crazy. The body language.
And I don't think, I mean, like, it's sort of, if they don't get that, a lot of people said, yeah, you know, of course he's going to get praised for going for it there. But if that pass had been incomplete, it would have been the worst call in the history of football. Not really, because of what we've talked about before. It's not insane to think that the other team, if you punt the ball, that you're not going to coffin corner it, ergo it might be at the 20 instead of at the 50. So that's 30 yards. And then one completion off the right arm of Baker Mayfield negates that field position advantage. So it kind of does make sense. And that's why everybody's been saying for the last decade, go for it in short yardage.
Yeah. But based on the situation, when you have a guy who threw one of the worst interceptions we have ever seen, our kids included, in the last drive, I mean, he coached that game like Patrick Mahomes was still in the lineup, down to the third and 14 and then to the fourth and one. And that's what he should get credit for. But I guarantee you, if that misses and Baker has half a field to drive for a touchdown, we're calling for Andy Reid's head. A lot of people are. That just how it is.
I think that's true, but I also think that it was unlikely to happen because of how he was coached. Like, I think that having confidence in your players and being that sure the whole game, so that when it gets up to that, you know, sure, Henny messed up, but he also was good. And so I think that for Andy or Eric or, you know, the whole coaching staff really to be saying,
I don't know him as well as you do with the first name.
They're close personal friends and we go on vacation together. But, you know, I think that for them to coach that way and say, you know what, just because he threw that interception, we're not going to stop coaching that way, makes it much more likely that he's not going to throw another interception.
Now, you might say that Cleveland got screwed over a little with that. Well, first of all, that play where they fumble through the end zone, I think it's harsh. I'm not going to go crazy. I think the pylon part of it is worse when you try to stick the ball in the pylon and it just comes loose and it goes to the end zone. Fumbling through the end zone is a little less acceptable, but the helmet to helmet, that was a helmet to helmet on this Sorensen guy that they didn't call, causing the fumble through the end zone. I think the NFL has to, you know, when they say safety is their number one priority, it's kind of silly when you can't review a play like that. Now, college goes overboard. There's a 20-minute review to see if it was targeting, and then they throw the kid out of the game or they don't. But there has to be some middle ground there. I could see why the Browns think they may have gotten screwed over. Did that bother either of you a lot?
Yeah, broken record check is going to say it again. It's hooey and applesauce when people say, oh, but you can't review everything because then the games would be 7.5 hours long. False. That the fact that the league has set it up this way, that all control has to be as much as possible on site, they're very intent on that. They really think it's got to be on the field and in the moment and all that kind of stuff. But of course, we all have our cell phones. We all have instantaneous. Look at us kibitzing from three corners of the United States of America right now in real time. The technology exists that somebody could very easily, like, yeah, you got a helmet to helmet there, and the official could know it, and it would be an almost instant feedback from the referee to the rest of the world. It's a sad irony that we all watching the game, everybody who's watching the football game sees exactly the same thing, knows the same information, except the only few people down on the field who make the call. That is bad. It really does suck from the credibility of the game. Like the whole thing about like we can't have gambling and everything else because it undermines the credibility. This undermines it because we all see what the right call is, and the only people who don't know it are the officials making the call. That's crazy. And that really has to change.
Yeah, and the safety part of it too. Like this is you can't say it with a straight face if you're going to let that play go. I get that it could get out of hand the other way where we're reviewing everything a shoulder on shoulder and but boy, that seemed like a really bad. I thought that's game over. And then the Chiefs didn't really take advantage, right? They they got the ball at their own 20, but it was the pick where they couldn't get past 19-3. They couldn't get past a two-score game, and just a phenomenal. I mean, I was more exhausted yesterday than I was any of the three game days last Saturday or Sunday, right? I mean, between that Browns Chiefs, and then let's just go right to it. New Orleans, Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay wins 30-20. Tampa advancing to a Super Bowl. This is just an insane stat. I know you don't want to hear it, Charlotte, but 14 out of 19 seasons, Brady has made the championship game. Now, you could say he was in a bum division, the AFC East, but that gets thrown out the window when you talk 14-19. Still had to win some more playoff games against good teams. My God, he's the best. What are you going to do? He's the best.
I know. I go back and forth. Honestly, like the whole season, I've been like, oh, God, this sucks. Like, I hate that he's that good without New England. And now watching this and seeing that he really is just that good. And you are confident when he is on the field that they are going to win. And it to me, I was surprised after the game. I was sort of begrudgingly like, all right, you know, like it almost validates what he did in New England. I wish that the reason I didn't really want him to succeed, to be honest, was because I like to think there was some sort of magic in Brady and Belichick. And I'm sure there still was, but it also really does validate like all those years where you saw Brady take, where I would watch him take the field and be like, oh my God, the quarterback who plays for my team is unbelievable. And then you watch him for another team and you're like, oh yeah, no, he's just that good. It wasn't a fluke six times, you know, it wasn't, it does make you feel sort of, I was like, wow, okay, well, that was pretty cool. But also, oh my God.
I'll recommend something to you. You need to start betting on Tampa Bay. That way you won't feel it as much. It won't hurt when Tampa Bay wins and they advance and, oh my God, they're in the Super Bowl without the wearing the Patriots colors here.
Well, that's made me kind of mad at the Patriots again. I mean, I like flip-flopped. I was like, well, now do I hate my team? Because, you know, they screwed this all up and he let him go, or I don't know. It's emotionally draining.
Here's what I'm thinking. These guys, and this is, you know, you could debate this all you want, but Brady, top three quarterbacks of all time. Belichick, top three coaches. People were like, oh, they're definitely top two. Okay, let's say top three for a second. That's never going to change, regardless of what Brady does with Tampa Bay, regardless of what Belichick does without Brady. But do you lose the number one spot? Do you gain the number one spot as a result of being away from the other? I think Brady gets, oh my God, especially if he makes it to the Super Bowl, forget it. He's a undisputed number one, and Belichick could creep out of that top two.
The copycat nature of the league and the coin flip nature of what determines what happens going forward with what the league copycats, like going for it on fourth down and everything else, you know, this is good news if you're an advocate of go for it in short yardage, because as you mentioned, Tomlin failed, Vrabel failed, Andy Reid succeeded, ergo in 2021 in the regular season, you're going to see more of that. That's the way it goes. If Belichick and the Patriots fall on their face again in 2021, then it will be clear. I mean, this is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I know the game hasn't been played yet, even in Lambeau Field, but this was an organization. I know people, I know it was forever ago and all that, but I mean, this was an organization for its first 26 years that hadn't won a game under 40 degrees. This team had very little history to them. And now Tom Brady, and I know, and by the way, talk about what the result and how it determines how we talk about these things and the narratives and everything else. Tom Brady, it's remarkable, 14 years in the title game. Still, Tyler Johnson doesn't make that catch, that insane catch. That wasn't a great throw by Tom Brady. It was a great catch by a rookie named Tyler Johnson that saved it. Then Brady just about, I mean, he throws a dreadful pick that if he elevates it just a little bit more, Marshawn Lattimore pick sixes it, not just picks it, but could have pick sixed it and run down the sideline. Then what's the conversation today? Instead, it's Drew Brees as a goat. He's washed up. He's an old man. So I think you have to asterisk all those things.
Well, I think it's Drew Brees is the goat. He's an old man is the conversation. I'm just bringing up Brady was not sharp. He was 18 for 33, 199, two touchdowns, got lucky. Leonard Fournette was better than Kamara. That's what bailed him out. And the defense, obviously Devin White, but yes, Brees was the story. You don't want to make him the story because it was probably his last game. And you don't want to be like, oh my God, three picks. What did he do? 19 for 34. He really ruined it for them. But I just don't know what happened with that offense. Like, tell me what happened to Michael Thomas. Why did that guy, I think he had four targets, but why did that guy disappear? One of the great receivers of our generation. And then just nowhere to be found in the last half of the year. I mean, it was hurt, whatever. But then being a non-factor in these games, and then to insult to injury, Jameis comes in on a play. I can't believe Tampa allowed that. When you see a wide receiver, quarterback lined up in the wide receiver slot, he's probably doing a little more than just hanging out there at the bottom of your screen. He throws an easy touchdown pass that the Bears would have loved to have had last week against the Saints. And now it's all like, bring Jameis in. What would Taysom Hill be? Brees is the third best quarterback. I feel bad that it went down like that, but that's kind of how Brees' legacy ends up here, Charlotte, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like on the one hand, if you end like that, it's pretty clear that it's time to go. So I think that that might, yes, it sucks that that's how it ends for him, but he, I don't think that over the next few years, or, you know, when people think about Drew Brees and the Saints, I don't think they're going to think about how it ended as much as they're going to think about how long he was there, what he did while he was there. You know, I think on some level, maybe it's a, maybe it's nice to go out that way. Cause it's like, okay, yep. Time to go. You're not left with this sort of like, you know, was it, should, was I still, it's pretty definitive, and maybe it makes walking away a little bit easier. I mean, I highly doubt any of these guys would say that, but I wonder if there is some component. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. It's
maybe
it's,
it just sucks. Maybe I'm trying to find a silver lining where there isn't any.
Well, the silver lining is you get to toss the ball with Tom Brady after the game.
Can I say something that I don't mean to sound as mean as it's going to sound, but when I read a headline that said Tom Brady throws a ball to Brees' son, Baylen, and I thought it was, I thought it was like a, either a typo or a joke where it's like, you know, in, if his name were Jalen Brees, making it like Baylen Drees, you know, so that's, oh, that's a thing.
That bothered you the most of it?
Well,
yeah.
I was like, Baylen?
Right. Baylen.
Is that a name? Like, is that someone's last name that they used, or did they make that up?
That is interesting. I've not heard Baylen before. Yeah, Drew is Baylen from the league right now. Yeah, we had an issue with it, and Charlotte came around. I was wondering if she was going to be the holdout, but the fact that they were texting all week bothered us. We had a good go around about that. And then how does it culminate? After the game, they hang out. They're out there in the stadium. They're talking. They're hugging. And then Brady throws the son, Baylen, a pass. He's like, hey, Drew, this is how you do it. This is how you not get intercepted. Let me show you. Your son's going to be on the other end of that. Now, I guess they're friends. It's fine. I guess it has to end like that. But it just bums me out that anyone is in a decent enough mood to exchange pleasantries even an hour after the game.
Yeah, I mean, Brees, the thing that's hard to separate is that Brees meant so much to the city of New Orleans because of post-Katrina stuff. It's hard to separate that. And so, you know, he holds a different place. He holds a different level of import to the people there, but also his performances in December's and January's over the last half decade are hard to push back on. I mean, he was bad, and, you know, maybe he should have gotten to a Super Bowl 2 years ago. And it was a bad call that kept him from getting there, but he didn't get there. And I was struck by the fact that once again, you know, it really is crazy. There was a moment in the fourth quarter where it felt like the Bucs are looking to put this one away, and Brady threw it to Gronk, and Gronk made a nice little play to get a few extra yards up the left sideline inside the 10-yard line. And it suddenly occurred to me, like, if you blur your eyes, it's crazy to think 2 years ago, or, you know, 1 year and 50 weeks ago, Brady was throwing it to Gronk for the decisive play to defeat the Rams, who had just beaten the Saints to get there. And this thing of Brady, like, we can nitpick Brady and say he wasn't great in the divisional round yesterday. And we can go back to, you know, we can go way back to 2003 and talk about if John Casey hadn't kicked the ball out of bounds in the Super Bowl. But it is remarkable.
He always gets there.
How is this guy? I mean, like, yeah, it's not like, eh. I mean, some things you can fluke. Oh, well, I mean, you just got lucky with it. I mean, it is crazy that those two guys, Gronk was retired a year ago, and now he's playing in Tampa Bay and making those same big plays in big spots and
big
postseason games. It's crazy.
There's no odds on this, but, you know, Gronk played every game this year. Like, what kind of odds could you have gotten on Gronk playing every game this year? He's always misses game, misses a handful, misses a half dozen games, misses three games. I mean, played every single game. Wasn't a superstar. I think he had like seven touchdowns. A very good year.
It's that TB12 method, baby.
It must be. I got to get on that. I have to figure that out. So there you go. There's Tampa, New Orleans. I wanted this game to be great, right? We all wanted this game to be great. There's another game we're going to talk about in a minute that we wanted to be great. That was not. But
didn't I say it wouldn't be?
Well, they
I told you so, but I said that wouldn't be a great game.
And by the end of the third quarter, both quarterbacks were hovering around 100 yards passing. It was like, ugh, what are we doing here? And Dave, I know, like, Tampa Bay put it away, but Saints come out and score in the second half out of halftime. They go up 20-13. Tampa punts. I'm like, oh man, this game could be over. Saints score here. It's 27-13. They're not coming back, but they couldn't. That's where Breeze couldn't seize momentum.
I mean, we've seen before. It's a marginal. I know they call it based on the optics of the way it looks like the special teams guy hits the defender in the back. But when you watch it in slow-mo and everything with the benefit of that, they didn't have to flag the punt return for a touchdown that would have made it 10-0. It wasn't a required flag. If it gets to 10-0, you know, obviously that changes the shape of the game. But, you know, you mentioned Michael Thomas, and I think we can ascribe that to probably injury, that he was just never 100% this year, and that's that, maybe. But that was weird. But, you know, something we've kind of talked about over the course of this season, it's remarkable. Everybody's like, you got to get this. You got to have a top-tier QB, and you got to pass rush in the postseason to go deep, and you got to have this guy, this way. What you do not need, go through the list of the best wide receivers in the 21st century. It is crazy how little success those teams have in getting and winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Weird. Michael Thomas, T.O., Randy Moss, Antonio Brown, New Hopkins, Julio Jones. Those guys have a combined zero Super Bowls. I mean, Super Bowl victories. It's crazy. I mean, Marvin Harrison, okay, he slips through with Reggie Wayne, but I mean, that's the exception that proves the rule. How crazy is it that if you think it's something you gotta have, and who's gonna stop this wide receiver and Odell Beckham? Those teams just do not show up in the Super Bowls and win them. It's a weird thing. Yeah, I don't know if it's an anomaly, or is it something that legitimately you should address as a GM and head coach, and like, maybe this isn't good for us. Look at what the Browns did without Odell, as you mentioned last week, Sal. I mean, like, He's ascribed the footnote status at
not part of the conversation.
What are we supposed to take away from this? That it just has zero impact on how deep you go in the playoffs, whether or not you have one of these dominant guys that you have to double up and all that kind of stuff. And it has no import when it comes to winning Super Bowls.
Well, the problem with this narrative is you had to wait 10 years after Jerry Rice was retired to start it up, right? Because he's the greatest of all time and he has a bunch of Super Bowls. Yeah, but you're right. And especially when we went over, you have to be, for the most part, very solid quarterback to make it to the Super Bowl. So who is this solid quarterback throwing to, if not the best players in the game? All right, I want to talk about Saturday's games, but first, let's give FanDuel some love. Hey, same game parlay, $25 insurance. You know what that means? I'm about to tell you right now. Perfect way to make the playoffs even more exciting. This weekend coming up, it's called the Same Game Parlay, available at FanDuel Sportsbook only. At FanDuel Sportsbook, you combine multiple bets from a single game for an even bigger win during the conference championship round. You can combine the money line, the over-under, player props, all in one parlay. Best of all, FanDuel is letting you protect your parlay. Yes, protect it. You're getting insurance automatically. You could place three or more games in the same game parlay or props and get up to $25 back if only one leg falls short. That's crazy kind of insurance. Playoffs are the perfect time to give one a shot. Just one of the many ways to win on FanDuel. So, yeah, I mean, so you could say Devontae Adams will score a touchdown. You could say Aaron Rodgers will be over 275.5 yards, and the game will go over. That's an example of the same game parlay. It's very early in the week to try to figure this out, but we will have one for you later in the week. There you go. Live betting, easy to place your bet fast during game. If you see a trend you like, odds, boosts, specials every day, some big super boosts each weekend, multi-game parlays. Like I said, same game parlays. It's all available on FanDuel. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up to get started. Use our promo code Extra Points at sign up. That's promo code Extra Points. And if you're a current customer and you're all set, go check out same game parlays, only available on FanDuel Sportsbook. All right, Saturday game. So we did our extra points for extra pay parlay. We've been successful for it. It's all gravy now, guys. We hit three of them at between 5 and 6 to 1 odds. So if you do the math on that, weeks 19, 20, 21, we're all in the clear. But we still want to win for you. Dave's been successful with these. Started us off with, Charlotte, what did you have? You had the Browns.
I had Browns at plus, I think for us, it was plus 11.
Yeah, You got but past it, the 10. Yeah. So that was nice.
Yeah.
That's a
that
win.
That was good.
After the fact is a win because it didn't matter. I had Tampa, which also didn't matter, plus 4.5. But Dave, you got rooked here. I do feel for you. This was the weird game mm-hmm. of the weekend. Baltimore, Buffalo. Buffalo won the game. What was it? 17-3? Didn't feel like that at all. Just felt like the game never got going. And 17-3, not enough to cover the Baltimore plus 3.5. I think that's what it was. Your thoughts on this, because I know this bummed you out. You picked Baltimore to make it to the Super Bowl.
Right, and you know, the strange bedfellows in January 2021 that I would find myself rooting for the Ravens. Gambling has done some weird things to me, and in fact, it's turned me against one of my cardinal rules, which is northern teams should not dome over their stadiums because it provides an essential, on occasion, an essential home field advantage. It could very well be the difference, in fact, in the upcoming Battle of the Bays, like we used to see in the old NFC Central way back when the Buccaneers used to wear those creamsicle and look completely out of their depth when they would play any of those other northern teams from the NFC Central. And then Kurt Warner says on Sunday that, see, this is why all playoff games should be at a neutral site. And I was like, wait a second. That's a terrible idea. Wait, what am I doing? I'm upset about the Buffalo result. I feel like it's like if we had known it was going to be frigid all week in Buffalo, I could have accepted it. Then I would that the wind showed up. It's like, what the hell is this game? Like, this is no playoff game. This is absurd that all of a sudden the whole season is boiling down to this. I felt jobbed. I felt lied to. And then Lamar Jackson gets hurt. And people say, "Wow, yeah, it was just in the fourth quarter." Well, there was a 7-point game at the time he got hurt.
Thought that turned it around. The pick six, obviously. So let's talk about that. They were down, and he goes up right after that. You could say Tucker's missed field goals, which are weird. He especially thought it was weird. He's making all these comical faces along the way, but and people are blaming Al Michaels for it because he, God forbid, an announcer say that a kicker's not supposed to miss a field goal and then he misses a field goal. It's Al Michaels' fault. But I'm going to read you a couple stats, Dave and Charlotte. The Ravens were inside the 30 five times. They scored 3 points and they allowed 7. The Bills had 222 total yards, including 32 rushing. And they won this game 17-3. Like, none of this made sense. I don't want to say the Bills are lucky. They deserve it. We're going to hear from their fans if we're diminishing their belittling their win here. But, my God, they had to do so little to win this game. I don't get – they had 2 rushes in the first half.
I really think the weather played a huge – I mean, that wind was insane. Like, at one point – it cut to who was on the sidelines for that? Michelle Tafoya on the sidelines. And she was like, you know, the wind has died down. And then it cut to a picture of the flags and they all look like they've been hairsprayed to stand up straight. It's blowing so much. And so and it also looked like there were a few overthrows that both Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson made only in one direction. So I feel like it wasn't, I feel like the wind really just screwed with everybody more than maybe we could see. And it's one of those things. It's hard to say like, okay, well, yeah, you know, 222 yards, that'll be enough against the Chiefs. Like it won't, but also hopefully you have better conditions.
Wow. I mean, I love this game. This is why it was bad. I'm blaming myself because I was like, I love this game. I'm going to bet the least amount on this game because I just want to watch it. And then I got a stinker. 17-3.
Yeah. I'm with you, and you really talked it into being. I blame you ultimately for it, Sal. I mean, I have to wear it a little bit, but you summoned this by putting that out into the public forum that this game could be a stinker. But yeah, I feel like if Justin Tucker makes that field goal on the first possession, I don't know if this is hyperbolic, but if he makes that and gets it 3-0, I think as you get into the game a little bit and on both sides and realize, man, this wind is insane and this is really messing with what we're able to do. If the Ravens just get that first 3 at the start of the game, the whole thing plays out differently. I love games determined. I love these iconic games that are determined on some level by the weather outside. I think it's, I mean, the 1975 AFC title game, Oakland and Pittsburgh, the 1980 divisional round game when the Raiders go into Cleveland and beat Brian Sipe and company. I mean, that was based on the fact that Sam Ratigliano tried to make kicks and couldn't make them. So that's why they go for it with Brian Sipe throwing it into the end zone and getting intercepted at the end of that game, because they were like, well, it's too crazy. The field's too crazy. We can't kick on it. I love that kind of stuff. This one just felt weird. It just like, what the hell? Nobody told us that it was going to be windy. I felt lied to, as I say. I want it to be run back.
Why should it matter so much? If Lamar's going to be a top five quarterback, right? Like, let's not forget that Sunday night, he got crushed by the Patriots because it rained. Like, okay, now if the conditions are a little off or somewhat off, should we have a backup? Should we have that number two? Huntley come in, the kid from Utah, if the weather's not ideal?
He looked pretty good.
He looked decent, right? But I'm not, you know, obviously Lamar's the guy they're going to stick with, but this is really his kryptonite. Any bad weather? I don't know. I don't know what to do. I do know that Dave's America's team is in the Final Four, and I'm going to keep taps on your gloating here because I feel like you got too much bang for your buck. You root for the Steelers. Okay, there's not much we could do about that. You declared that the Bills were America's team, but you also had the Ravens going to the Super Bowl. I'm watching you, Damashek. You can't do too much celebrating if America's team all of a sudden is playing in
February. Then again, I'm like Nick Caraway in Gatsby, like the most limited of all men, the well-rounded man, because I keep picking against the Bills too. And so
yes.
I'm really not satisfying anyone, including myself, with this one. That's what she said.
It's true.
I don't know. But anyway, but yeah, it's weird. I keep going against it. I should have just ridden the Bills. Now in hindsight, I should have just embraced them to the exclusion of all others. I mean, obviously the bottom line is it'd be great if it was the Bills and the Packers. That's a fun fan base. If you're looking for fan bases to root for, it'd be fun for the Bills to get there. But you know, what do you think right now? This, as we say, what happens determines how the organizations then feel about their guys. And I think the Browns organization is probably feeling pretty good about Bake right now. Mm. Is it still absolutely positively the right move to extend him? Same thing in Baltimore. I weirdly would feel a little bit better. I kind of like the Ravens. I think I'd rather... If I were the Ravens, I'd rather extend Lamar Jackson than be the Browns and extend Bake. I don't think, although Bake was on the money. He threw some dynamite balls in that game, but I think I'd rather extend Lamar Jackson.
I think
I'm trying to do the math on which I'd feel better about.
I've now figured out what you're saying, but no,
I don't know what I'm saying either. So please try to see if you can explain it to
me. Aside from the rookies, and you got Burrow, you got Herbert, and you got Tua, to a lesser extent, the two quarterbacks that jumped up the charts more than any other this year were Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield, right? So
yeah.
If you have to extend them this year, I think you do. I think Baker, you put
them in the same sentence, Bake and Josh Allen, who's
well, I'm saying
the runner-up
MVP.
Two.
Well, what other two quarterbacks, I'm saying, have jumped up that much? I mean, I'm not saying they're...
I think Baker deserves... What?
I don't know that I love Baker long-term if I'm a Browns fan.
I think I do. I think... How can you say that when he's gotten them farther than anybody's gotten them in decades?
I think he could be a winner. I think he could be a winner. That said, out of every team we saw play this weekend, I think they're least, not least likely, but out of the eight teams we saw, I could see the Browns not making it back. I see every other team, you know, getting to at least this stage, but mainly because they're in a tough division with their Ravens, with the Steelers every year. It's going to be a dogfight there.
One thing that I think is strange is that the gap between, I mean, I guess we'll get to this later in the week, but the, these two games, Brady versus Rodgers and Mahomes versus Josh Allen, it the gap between like the old guys and then the young guys, who are the in-between guys who are really good? It feels like once, you know, Brady and Rodgers and Breeze and Philip Rivers are out of the league, it's like, do you only have young guys left who are really good?
Russ is the bridge.
I would have said Cam, but that didn't work out this year. It's like there's no one in between.
Right. Cousins, the besides guys like Russ, that. Who, yeah, you're not that you're didn't not work getting, out. Right. No, it's
I'm
a good
surprised,
point.
Sal, you're going against collective wisdom, because I know some of it's owed to, like, people feel like they have to, like, it's a funeral or something when a football team loses. And so then you have to write songs about, hey, chin up, future's bright. That Cleveland is the big recipient of that award. Like, don't hang your heads, Browns fans. The future is bright. And that they are the biggest. A lot more questions about Baltimore going forward.
Oh, yeah.
It feels like from the football, from Football America, than there is about the Browns. Everybody's like, and maybe that's right, because so long as that offensive line is great and borderline dominant, that's baked kryptonite. Like, if you pressure him at all, he falls apart. But maybe that offensive line is good enough. Dominated Pittsburgh's defensive front, yeah, 8 days ago. If that's the equation that you're going to pretty much know that Baker's going to have a clean pocket, then I guess he is the guy. But if you pressure him, that's a bad kryptonite to have as a pro QB.
I'm just looking at their stock going up, right? Yeah. Rookies aside, Kyler Murray at best stayed the same, I think, right? And there could be an injury we hear about. Goff, everyone's going to like him or hate him, right? San Francisco gets an NA because of the injuries. Russ is Russ. He's out of the equation. He can't jump up or down too much in a 12-4 year. Matt Ryan, nothing special. Bridgewater, I'm looking at all these. Like,
It is a stock market, jumps? Right?
Yeah, right.
You've got the arrow doing, next to their name, right?
If we're doing Casey's top 40 here, who jumps 12 spots into the top 15? You know what I mean?
Do 1 through 32. Rank up, not... Do it off the top of your head, okay, or you can take a moment as soon as we stop here and then issue it. But it is the quarterback situations across Football America right here and now are interesting. And they're going to be, once again, a ton of moving parts. The carousel will spin once again this offseason.
Oh, and you talk about Deshaun Watson wanting out of Houston, and who are the teams that are going to play ball and can immediately give them a quarterback for the future rather than just draft picks and alleviate salary.
What's your friend money. Nine say? I mean, it seems clear now that the fallout from Philadelphia is that Carson Wentz is going to get first dibs in 2021 again over Jalen Hurts. But what about your guys? What does Nine say about Dak returning? I still think, I don't know that that's the greatest move in the world if I'm the Cowboys.
I think the Kellen Moore move, I don't want to say solidifies his return, but it definitely pushes Dak in that direction, breaking
records before he got hurt.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a bad, I feel like that's of the options available. It's kind of what you got to do. But I wish that there were more chatter about Deshaun Watson to the Pats, but I haven't seen any of that.
Well, I was just going to say, if Daniel Jeremiah, who is one of the more plugged in, you know, personnel guys, obviously, and presumably getting calls from various teams about GM spots, he's pally with Joe Douglas. It's not a secret. And if he's saying that, here's what I would do if I were the Jets, I'd offer those three first rounders that you can spread out over a couple of years. If he's saying that, I don't think he's just throwing that out into the wind. I think he's saying that to Joe Douglas, or maybe vice versa. I think that the Jets are, I wouldn't be surprised if you hear Daniel Jeremiah saying that, there's
Jets
have
the assets,
smoke
Dolphins
there.
Have the assets, Jaguars, if they want to part with that one pick, they have the assets. But yeah, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick is not the this is a guy who trades down, right? He doesn't give up three.
I know.
Then again, if I'm here, I'm like, hey, I'm going to be here two more years. What do I care if I give up a 2029 draft, first round draft pick? I don't know how it works, what Houston would take. We've not seen this. This might be the James Harden effect or the Kyrie Irving effect. We've not seen like Eli threatened before he was drafted, like wanted to, these guys threaten trades and want trades, Elway, all these guys. But we've not seen a guy sit. Would Deshaun Watson sit maybe the year before he was traded? Like, then like Houston has to get rid of him. Now you don't need three ones. You want him out of here because he's not playing anyway. It could get very interesting as the months go on.
Well, yeah. I mean, like a lot of people floated out, it would be ironic, but also a good move by both organizations. If you, obviously the reason that everything, Tua is in Miami right now and all of that is in part because of the deals with the Texans. But wouldn't it be funny then if they traded Tua and some firsts to get Deshaun Watson to Miami.
Right.
And then that becomes the epicenter of pro football. If you go Josh Allen and Deshaun, what if Deshaun lands with the Jets, or the Jets take Justin Fields and then Miami winds up with Deshaun, then suddenly the Patriots are the bottom feeders of that division. Conversely, to Charlotte's point, you know, I think Belichick probably is seeing this. I mean, what do you think? Bill Belichick watched the game in New Orleans last night? I mean, do you think he was watching that? What do you think emotions he has?
Oh,
he has an ego. Surely he has an ego. He's not like, well, good for Tom. You know, we did a lot together and I'm happy to see him still thriving.
I don't think he, of course I not. Feel like he said nothing. I really
he may
feel
not
like,
say anything, but I'm sure he's sick in his balls about it, and therefore wants to make a big move
like
for next year.
I feel like he's the kind of guy who like compartmentalizes to the point where he almost would. I don't know what sort of deep subconscious he'd be thinking, but I feel like he's just like, well, you know, that's how it goes. Got to get better and not change anything about how he does anything.
I mean, this guy turned down a Medal of Freedom. You think he doesn't know what a big event is? He probably didn't even have his TV on. Yeah, he doesn't know. Oh, really? Brady played yesterday? What do we know? You go to the White House. Someone invites you. You go.
He is gonna go with Jared Stidham, and then they're not gonna win, and he's gonna retire.
Oh man, I guess
no
there are other,
They'll
ways to get
the
out. There's other ways to get out of it. I just never know with him. I don't know what a challenge is to
him.
Going to
be Jared Stidham.
You know?
I really think so.
I wouldn't be surprised. Hey, let's talk about the best quarterback in the game, and that's Aaron Rodgers right now. I think the Packers look dynamite. They're the best of the four teams going in. I don't see any flaws now. The Rams were shorthanded, literally. They had Goff with the thumb. Goff did well. He had like only 6 incompletions. Half of them were on that last drive. He did well for them. Aaron Donald was wearing this crazy Terminator type apparatus. Couldn't be his best. Sat out a bunch of plays and no Cooper Kupp. So maybe it's different. Maybe the Packers don't win 32-18 over the Rams if that's the case. But they look good. And now at Monday, looking ahead to Sunday, that's really the only bet I want to make. I think I'm going against Tom Brady and taking Aaron Rodgers.
I agree with you in terms of the game. Like watching that game, I was like, they're playing about as perfect as you can play football. It was like in Queen's Gambit, you know, she plays this perfect game and you're like, well, guess that's it. And this one, I was like, I don't see flaws here, which of course is a dangerous thing to say about a team. And I could still see some heartbreaking end where Tom Brady beats Aaron Rodgers in the NFC Championship. But I do think that if there's any, no team has looked this good the whole season, I don't think.
Yeah, I felt it was like a challenge. Jalen Ramsey shuts everyone down. I'm going to find Devontae Adams. We'll find him. That'll be a touchdown you're going to have to live with for the rest of the offseason. I don't know. I felt like, you know, Lazard drops a pass. They stalled the drive at the end to run the clock out, but they could have scored in the mid-40s against one of the best defenses we've seen in the last 10 years or so, right?
Yeah, the Packers are going into this. You knew that the prohibitive favorites were the two teams with the byes. And I don't know. These games have been too competitive, and I'm sure that the league is looking at them and saying, perfect. This worked out nicely for us. I just hope that they come to their senses on some, but I think it's too much of an advantage. I may be contradicting myself, because I like the best teams to have a decided advantage. I think if you earn it over the course of the regular season, you should have an advantage over the bottom feeder teams that are lucky to even be in the postseason. But it's too much of an advantage, I feel like, to just give one team per conference a bye. And I think that's the way it's going to wind up. If you win your division, I feel like that should be the measure. I feel like you should get a bye if you win your division. That's the goal going into the season. It's too weird.
So who got screwed here? The Saints, who didn't show up yesterday?
I don't know. I just feel like the math. I'm just thinking about a standard before the season kicks off every year that you know that if you win, it's kind of like, you know, old college football. Like, I know if I win the Big Ten, I wind up in the Rose Bowl. Like, there's got to be some measure. Whereas it's like we're chasing the number one seed, which leads to like in week 14. So like we have to win. We have to beat that team. But then that team better lose. And then we have the percentage advantage because we beat them in a head to head.
Yeah, but there's always going to be that. Why do you cut it off at two? Why can't it be top
three? Dave, I thought you liked the chance to topple them. I thought you wanted the, you know, Coastal Carolinas.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody,
let's not go down that rabbit hole because I can justify that one. I can explain that one.
There wasn't much
away.
Difference between the Saints and the Seahawks this year for 2 and 3. So then how far down the road are you going to go?
I say division champs. Division champs. You should get a bye if you're a division champ.
A bye? Oh, man.
A bye. Yeah, I think you're every adding division champ should get a bye. The reason you don't do that is only because
you
don't of TV.
Like, you wouldn't like that this year with Washington getting a bye. Yeah, I think just strive to be number one, and then you don't have to worry about anyone taking your home field advantage. I think that's the better way to do it.
I guess. Yeah. But the thing that then the other side of this coin is, of course, the way the Bills, the Chiefs continue to play with fire. How many is it now? 7 weeks in a row that they haven't covered? Is that what is it now?
I think
now?
It's
8 more.
Weeks? I think it's week since week 8, and they didn't play. Yeah, I think it's 8 in a row. I think it's 8 in a row. Yeah,
they keep on messing with fire here. I'm not going to be shocked. I mean, you know,
they
would have
covered.
We don't even know yet. By the way, we're all pretty glib about like you know, they're obviously Mahomes is going to play. Not medically, it's not, you know, like they actually do theoretically at least have those standards. Like Chet, the one guy who definitely wants Mahomes to play is Chad Henne. There's nothing he can do to improve his, talk about stock. Chad Henne, this is as good as he can do. Same goes for Jameis. I was thinking that, perfect. I don't, please, Sean Payton, do not put me in again this game. Let me just throw that one pass.
It.
And now it's like Scott Mitchell. All boiled down to just one play. Like, how many millions did Jameis Winston make for making that one completion? Like, see, he's good, Jameis. Right. That's why he was the first overall. I don't think Chad Henne definitely doesn't want anything to do with that, and it would spoil an otherwise grand title game weekend if we heard Chad Henne has to start because Mahomes has a concussion. I don't think it's a given though that Mahomes is definitely absolutely.
I think
gonna
he's
play.
More likely to get ousted for COVID reasons than the concussion right now.
Well,
really
Andy
do.
Reid afterwards came out and said he'd passed all the deals. So and he was out there tweeting. So I feel like it. You know, I think that it. Either they're setting it up to be very convenient for when he's healthy next week, or, you know, he really is more okay than he looked, which I'm hoping it's the latter.
I will say not a ton of players pass in a week for the protocol. They do. There are a few, but not a ton of them. That usually takes more than a week. But like I said, I don't know what that test is going to. They're stealing the results of that test right
the
now.
The lines are, we have a week to figure this stuff out, I guess, and the lines are pretty close for both games. But who do you guys think is more likely, which road team is more likely to land in the Super Bowl? And let's keep in mind too how cool it is, the way, I mean, everybody talked about it for 8 months, 10 months, whatever, but really think about the fact Tom Brady is now 60 minutes away from playing the first ever home game in a Super Bowl. How crazy is that? I mean, and everything favors Aaron Rodgers, which is why I feel like, man.
I think it is so likely that the Bucks get there. I would almost bet. I think I would put my money on the Bucks, to be honest. Like,
I thought you just said Green Bay's playing the Packers. I thought you were picking the Packers. Now you're taking the Bucks.
No. The Packers,
I think you're right.
They're playing the best. I think that they're playing the best any team is playing all season, and I still think it's going to be the Bucks. I think it's enough of a mind game too. I have a feeling.
You
I'm
wanted
like Tom
to say
Brady's
the F word there. I know you wanted to say the
I
F
did,
word.
I did,
mind
but I didn't
F.
say it because like people like our pal Kingston are listening and this is a family
That's
friendly
right.
No,
there
she,
go.
What she,
there
she didn't go. Almost say the F word. She almost said the S word. Sposta. She knows.
Mine's
Aaron Rodgers is wearing
no,
the collar.
No, because I think
Sposta
Brady has,
right
I think they have the Sposta also on a certain level. Like I think that this is
true.
A very even, I think the stakes are so high for both of these guys that it is very difficult to.
Oh man,
I could see it going either way, but I really, if I were to put money on it, I would go with the Bucks.
I think it's going to be very difficult for us to make an extra points for extra pay parlay this weekend.
I think so too.
I hear the talk. I mean, right now I like both favorites. I'd be less, but I love the Packers. But I wouldn't be surprised if Tampa.
What's the
is that saying
what's the
too
total?
Much?
Like, what's 50, the total on
51
Packers?
51 is the total for the NFC Championship and 54 for KC Buffalo.
You know what? I'll take, I'm just, it's going to be an
already?
Over.
Oh,
it's going to be an over situation for me.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see what the weather is like in some of these
it's
games.
Supposed maybe to snow. Light. 25 and potential for snow in Lambeau. Let's
it's not
do
even
it.
Fair that Tampa has a quarterback who's played in the worst weather ever. Like, what? Yeah.
And then he's going to be rewarded by playing a home game in the Super Bowl. It's
Now that he's gotten away from Belichick, he's playing his best ball ever.
Yeah.
Nah,
it's amazing. who was luckiest to make it there? I just brought up Green Bay. Lucky in that, you know, Aaron, not 100% Aaron Donald, not 100% Jared Goff, no Cooper Kupp. That's how they were lucky. But still, I put them at the bottom of the luckiest.
I think it was the Chiefs.
Chiefs were lucky to survive.
Because that
for sure.
one call, if they call helmet to helmet there, yeah. then it's a different ball game. And with Mahomes out, that momentum swing, you know, momentum, whatever. But like I think that the Chiefs was the most by the skin of their teeth win.
Yeah. All right. Maybe Dave, you can make a case for Buffalo. You know, lucky to survive the Colts, a gritty Colts team, and then now come in and, you know, the wind affected them and they beat up the Ravens. Would have been even luckier if they had to go against Chad Henne next week.
Since you said that, I mean, we should cover all the good fortune for these teams in Tampa Bay. Like we already said, definitely got lucky. They got lucky that the punt return was called back. That would have made it 10-0. They're lucky that Lattimore didn't pick off Tom Brady in that big spot. That would have been devastating to them. They're lucky that Jared Cook fumbled that ball away and that Drew Brees was so generous with sharing it with Devin White. And by the way, shout out to Devin White. Not once, but twice. Derrick Henry level stiff arms.
Yep.
I mean, he wasn't even stiff arming, guys. He was literally punching them with the ball. He was running down the field. He was like that one Bruckheimer movie where the opening scene where the running back is literally takes out a gun as he's running down the field and starts shooting people. Devin Bush was just like punching guys as he was running with the ball, like, get out, oh, you! It was like an action hero running down the field. But yeah, the Bucs got lucky They almost blew it to Heineke.
They played Washington. Right.
That's true.
So Charlotte, you say Kansas City is the luckiest. I can see that. Dave, you say Tampa Bay.
We're also the Browns. I mean, you know, that was I know they didn't, but I just have to make a point that they're lucky that Marquise Bouncey decided to snap the ball over Roethlisberger's head
lucky.
On the first play.
They
of the
didn't
game.
Have that advantage in the Chiefs game. There were no bad snaps. There was, like Charlotte pointed out, a gutsy 4th-and-1 call versus a 4th-and-1 punt.
I hope everybody enjoyed it. I hope it was worth it to watch the hated Steelers lose and the plucky Browns advance. And now, for three and a half hours, you have to look at that eyesore of a game. That was one of the ugliest playoff games I've ever seen aesthetically. That orange against that red. Blech.
Yeah, right.
Right? That was very
That wasn't good. I didn't like it at all. Yeah, you're right.
Even Sal who argues about how stupid it is to care about the uniforms, even you could see that was ugly.
I did, but I didn't think it was going to matter. I was like,
yeah,
wow,
it wasn't great.
Still a game 3 hours in. I still have to stare at this, but yeah, you're right. Not great at all. Hey, what is great is Crown Royal and what they're doing. They are, at the first time ever, the spirits advertiser is the NFL. They are using their airtime to encourage fans to drink responsibly on game day through their Crown Royal water break campaign. They've done this for 4 years. They distribute tens of thousands of gallons of water to fans nationwide, providing safe rides home and partnering with several NFL teams and former NFL legends to help spread the word. Crown Royal continues its commitment to inspire responsible drinking on game day and beyond. And for that, we are going to offer up our Crown Royal Athletes of the Week. I'm going to start us off. My Crown Royal Athlete of the Week, we've talked a lot about him. It's Chad Henne. It has to be Chad Henne. Henne given Sunday. Anything is possible. Any way we slice it, Chad Henne is our Crown Royal Athlete of the Week. Now, I'm not going to do this many times for a quarterback who threw a 59.4 passer rating. I'm probably not going to do that. 6 of 8, 66 yards, no touchdowns, an interception. Let's get to the good stuff. 3rd and 14, scrambles for 13.5 yards. They go for it on 4th and 1 and throws a perfect pass to Tyreek Hill, clinching the win. Oh, my God, saved me so much money. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Chad Henne, you are my Crown Royal Athlete of the Week. Charlotte, who are you going with?
Hey, big weekend, by the way, for Michigan backup QBs, right? Between Brady and Henne. Good stuff.
That's right.
I'm sorry, yeah, Charlotte.
No, no, no. It's just, you know, well, Tom Brady. I'm not talking about Tom Brady. I'm talking about a different 12. Aaron Rodgers is my crown royal athlete of the week. The Packers had a 13-3 season for the second year in a row. Aaron Rodgers at 37 had a career high 48 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions. He's completed 23 of 36 passes for 296 yards in the divisional round. He threw 2 touchdowns. I think Green Bay, as we said, is playing the most perfect football you can play right now. We'll see how that works out against the other number 12. But for now, I don't see how there's any other argument for anyone else for MVP after the season that Rodgers has had and what he's doing in the playoffs.
All right, Dave.
I will go with Tom Brady, of course, advancing to the title game, thanks to Drew Brees, who paid it forward among the high-end quarterbacks of the 21st century. 10 years and 51 weeks after Brett Favre did the same for Drew Brees in that same joint in the Superdome, the '09 NFC title game. Drew Brees got to the Super Bowl because Brett Favre threw a terrible pick in overtime. Also, Adrian Peterson fumbled 3 times in that game. Were it not for that, Drew Brees would be the 21st century Dan Fouts, which is a stats machine, surefire, first ballot Hall of Famer. Can't tell the story of pro football without him. Who never even got to a Super Bowl? Drew Brees is very fortunate that he got that ring thanks to Brett Favre. Now, Tom Brady has a chance to get a 7th ring thanks to Drew Brees, paying it forward, like I say, throwing some terrible, terrible picks. And also, I don't know what this jive is about. He might come back. It's time to hang it up, number 9. Good day to you, sir.
Well, they hugged and hugged right there. An hour or two, was it 3-4 hours after the game? Tampa and Drew embracing.
Sorry, I was thinking about a 4-hour hug between Tom Brady and Drew Brees.
Would you watch that? I would watch this. No, I wouldn't watch that at all. That was a Crown Royal water break. Moderate your drinking on game day. Stay hydrated. Stay royal. For more tips on how to crown your game day, visit at Crown Royal on Instagram. All right. Allegiances aside, money aside, bets aside, which Super Bowl is most compelling? In your eyes, which Super Bowl? Now, let me give you the storylines. These are the choices. Green Bay, Kansas City. You got Aaron Rodgers. You got Patrick Mahomes. Probably the number one choice for MVP, number two choice for MVP. You have Super Bowl I. You got all that stuff. Rematch of Super Bowl I. Fun. Green Bay, Buffalo. You don't want to hear this, Dave, but some say the two greatest fan bases in all of football. Certainly amongst the most passionate. Green Bay, Buffalo, small market. That's how football should be. Cold weather. They're in the Super Bowl. Number 3, Tampa Bay, Kansas City. Well, you got Mahomes and Brady again, right? Replay of the AFC Championship from a couple of years ago. Brady in anything is great. Or you got Tampa Bay, Buffalo. Brady's been kicking the crap out of Buffalo for 2 decades. This is their comeuppance. That's a fun one. Josh Allen and Tom Brady. What are you going? What's the best? Charlotte, what do you like?
Oh, God.
Let me go over the choices again. You have Green Bay, Kansas City. No.
I kind of think any storyline with Tom Brady playing at home is pretty wild. You know, that's sort of a hard narrative to beat. So by that, and, you know, you go Tom Brady versus Mahomes as GOAT versus future GOAT. I think that could be a really, really fun game. I think for Aaron Rodgers' sake, I would like to see him win another Super Bowl, but I think it's hard to argue that Brady Mahomes is not the greatest storyline.
Is not. Is or isn't?
I mean, is the greatest. It's hard to argue that it's, yeah.
Hard to argue that it's. Okay. So you're going Tampa Bay, Kansas City.
You gonna argue it?
I don't love what happens when things, if Tom Brady gets to this Super Bowl, then it becomes a Tom Brady story. And rightly so, obviously, given the last 20 years. But it's sort of like when Ray Lewis's Ravens won the Super Bowl or Jerome Bettis's Steelers won the Super Bowl. It ignores every other person on the roster. It becomes only about those guys. And I feel bad for everybody else on the roster. It's like, was it special to help Ray Lewis get one more Lombardi? Was it cool that Jerome Bettis got to play the Super Bowl in his home? I'm on the team too. I have a whole story about how long it took me to get the Pro Football and everything else. So I don't necessarily want to see Tom Brady. Let's move on to another story. I'll take Mahomes. The Bills getting there requires that they win the Super Bowl, because then it's sad if they ultimately lose a fifth Super Bowl.
It's kind of funny.
So I'm going Rodgers v. Mahomes, because I feel like Aaron Rodgers, for whatever reason, I think it's his personality. It's more nuanced than a lot of the hero type figures that you see in pro football. He's more thoughtful sort of a guy. His career's vaguely slept on. 11 years ago, before the year they beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl, I decreed he will go down in history as the greatest quarterback of all time. No one was saying that at the time, and I feel validated, and I'm self-validating now by saying if he wins this Super Bowl and with the MVP titles in tow, I think now it really then, everybody decided a year ago, Patrick Mahomes is the greatest to ever do it. Aaron Rodgers can remind everybody who the best is. And I know Tom Brady has those six rings. If Aaron Rodgers wins a second Super Bowl, given the years he's had, his 2020 season, his 2011 season, maybe the greatest single season quarterback in year ever, I think I want to see that one.
Really?
Let's see the two best of the 21st century.
There's no changing your mind, Wilder.
No. Dave, that was a compelling argument. And I'm realizing that the reason I went with the Tom Brady narrative is because I'm still at heart an obnoxious New England fan who's going to make herself a part of it. I think you're right. I think it's Rodgers, Mahomes, another Tom Brady storyline for the second, millionth time in however many years. I'm with you. Let's go Mahomes, Rodgers.
Well, it's a clean sweep. I'm going State Farm Bowl too.
Yeah.
I like Mahomes and Rodgers, but I feel like a jerk. Like, why not give a team that hasn't won it the chance? Dave, you're right. The Bills would have to win for it to be funny, fun. But man, Tom's won a bunch. Rodgers has won one. Obviously, Mahomes won one last year. We don't want to give the Bills a chance.
I just think it's so unlikely. I think it's so unlikely that the Bills get there at this point.
I know. Well, 3.5-point underdog.
Yeah. If Mahomes is healthy, if Mahomes plays, I think
it's going to be tough. What matchups? I'm very excited about the four, though. Very excited about the four. Yes, I'd go with the State Farm.
It's nice that we won't be stuck with like Rams Patriots.
That's exactly right. The answer is, and you see, like, you're kind of like, wow, but these are great games. And the Super Bowl is by definition great now, as long as Chad Henne doesn't rear his gigantic, gigantic head.
Yeah.
by the way, I mean, for real, Chad Henne's head. My goodness, that thing is gigantic.
I did not notice.
Romo didn't say anything about it, so I didn't notice either. Yeah. It's big.
It's gigantic. Chad Henne has a gigantic Ted Kennedy, John Travolta, Ben Roethlisberger, Danny Amashek style head.
I'd have a big one too if I went 4th-and-1 and made it in a game I had no business playing in. My God, Chad Henne, you did it. All right, Charlotte, at the Wilder Things, you did a nice little write-up on Chad Henne and the Chiefs and Andy Reid and how they went for it. And it all worked out. I did.
Yeah. Yep, I wrote a piece about that play and sort of what it says about the Chiefs and Andy Reid and that whole situation they've got going in Kansas City, which seems to be working out pretty well. Going to have a few videos coming out. We'll have a new show this week on People Sports Podcast. So, kind of the usual stuff going on.
There you go. At Damashek for you, Dave, on Twitter.
Yeah, Chad, unfortunately, double whammy. Bad name for a baby and a bad name for a grown-up. Don't be a Chad. Chad's a weird name.
It's a tough one with the frat boy. It's like a male Karen a little bit.
There's no age where it's good to be named
Chad. And then you had to survive the hanging Chad thing of a few elections ago. That wasn't fun.
Yeah. Thumbs down. -3 coming at you later in the week. Make sure you subscribe and download and all that and appreciate the feedback from all on it.
Charlotte, you have to make a choice. Chad or Balin? What are you going with?
Oh, God, Chad. At least that's a real name.
Chad's better. Yeah, it's true. I guess.
Sorry, I don't mean to be mean to a little boy. And, it's Drew Brees. He seems like a nice guy. I don't know. But, what name is that?
That thing on Drew Brees' face is named Chad.
Is that right?
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, Dave. That's not fair.
That's not classy at all.
I'm at the, oh, I know. What am I talking about? I need to promote my book, I guess. You Can't Lose Them All. It's at
Barnes & Noble. When is that going to show up? When am I going to get your book?
Tuesday, it comes out for real, but I'm supposed to speak of it between now and then on barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com. Just get it wherever you can. Number one on addiction and recovery section. It was never
meant. Is that meant. Topic?
It
are
is
you serious?
Number one. I don't know that there are any competitors out there. It might be the only one right now. And I certainly didn't mean for it to be a book inspiring recovery. Although, great, if it does, I'll take it. There you go. You Can't Lose Them All. Go get that. I'm at The Cousin Sal on Twitter. And a reminder to all of you, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all our favorites. Be good. See you Wednesday.